The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like vent away, Packers fans. Chef Ed weighing in on the Carbless talking text line saying, Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers, Marquette, Admirals, it's all the same. I'm in my 60s and I'm tired of making excuses for our team's failures every frickin' season. Thanks for letting me vent. If you want to vent, 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talk and text line. You can also get your reaction in on our YouTube page, ESPN Milwaukee, where we are streaming the show this morning and each and every morning. We are asking you guys, Matt LaFleur said, we got to do the things we think we can have success with going forward in the playoffs against Philadelphia first and foremost. What is that? What are the things that the Packers do well? Because I can tell you what they didn't do well yesterday. You heard the punt gaffe there in the comeback, in the open that we just had here on the show. You heard the punt gaffe. They went 3 of 11 on third and fourth downs yesterday against the Chicago Bears. They had two fumbles, Reed, Malik. You obviously lost Christian Watson to what is maybe, hypothetically, it's looking like a season-ending injury. Jordan Love gets hurt. And Malik Willis, that narrative that he could go out there and lead your team to victory, couldn't. That's out the window as well. So again, it is not so much that they lost to the Chicago Bears, although I know there are fans who care about that significantly. It is how crappy you look, how doo-doo you look headed into the playoffs, guys. It's the most important time of the season. I can take losses in the regular season if you punch your ticket to the postseason, but you got to look like a playoff team. You got to look like a formidable team. And there was nothing that I saw on the field yesterday, guys, that looked like Green Bay should be a serious contender, should be taken seriously in the postseason. Chewy, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But it's amazing how quick it flipped, because 2 weeks ago, everyone was saying, this is a team you don't want to play, hottest team in football. Now 2 weeks, it's like, you saw the line move, and there's a reason why the line is moving. It's because everyone's betting on Philadelphia.
I should probably make sure that didn't move again, huh?
That's quick. It went from, what'd you say it opened up at 3.5?
3.5.
And it's what?
Already at 5.5.
8:12 in the morning, and it's already moved 2 points. So, I don't know. This, to me, can they beat Philly? Yeah, they can beat Philly. But to me, this has now become an attitude thing. You know, not so much we have no chance. Confidence is so big, and that's why you have teams that are wild card teams win the Super Bowl. You know, look at no one wanted to play. People in the AFC are probably happy that Cincinnati didn't get in, because that's a hot team. This team hasn't been a hot team all year. Show me a stretch where they were hot.
Well, I mean, they were hot.
That's what
since
we're hanging
the bye. But I mean, Chewy, I mean, since that bye, they did get pretty hot. You know, even though they lost to the Lions, they still put up 31 points on that defense. You know, you win.
I think they had
five
wins in a row where they had 30 plus points, right?
And that's or five games in a row, because they scored 31 in the loss to Detroit.
Thank you. Yes, miserable goat weighing in on the YouTube page saying, "What do we do well?" Well, we're good at not sacking the quarterback. We're also good at slow starts. Last but not least, we're great at not holding the lead when necessary. Anything I've missed?
I don't think so.
Those are things the Packers are good at, Chew.
Is this the last game of the weekend, too?
No.
Sunday, 4:30?
No. They've got, so you have two games on Saturday, triple header Sunday, and then Monday Night Football.
Oh, I just wish it was right out the gate. Don't you guys wish it was right out the gate? Saturday, first game?
No, that has literally that game. Every time the Texans have played a wild card game, that's where the Houston Texans play.
Really?
First game out of the gate. It's literally happened every time in the history of their franchise.
Deshaun Watson with a huge upset in that game when he was still there. Like, that's how long they've been doing that.
Every time they're a wild card, they kick off wild card weekend. It's wild. I'm okay with the time slot that they've got.
You are?
Yeah, kind of ease into it. Maybe, you know, watch some fun football before we get to the stress-induced playoff football of the Green Bay Packers.
So we talked about last year, and we talked about how they beat the Dallas Cowboys and how everybody was like, oh, this is a fantastic win. Some even calling it the best win of Matt LaFleur's career without Aaron Rodgers. And now they face the Philadelphia Eagles. If they lose to Philadelphia, guys, given everything that we've said, how disappointed will you be? Will it have been a foregone conclusion? Will you be like, well, yeah, but everything we saw led us to this outcome, led us to this conclusion. I'm not all that surprised. Or will you be like, wow, this was a failure. You had to take a step. You had to win that game and win another game in order to have proof of concept, in order to show that they are growing. I'm not saying that this team should win the Super Bowl this year. But last year with Jordan Love under center, this is the second year with Jordan Love as the primary starter. You added some pieces in Josh Jacobs. Defensively, you added Xavier McKinney. Shouldn't this team take a step further in order to feel like you are moving towards the Super Bowl? Or, Gabe, are you just like, end the misery, end the season, get back to the drawing board, and live to fight another year?
No, I want them to win, but this is where I kind of side with Josh. I mean, you did take a step forward with 11 wins. Like, if the only way for them to take a step forward is to get to the NFC Championship game, then nothing that happens in the regular season matters, right? Like, this is, I mean, to Matt LaFleur's point, the one thing we love about the NFL is it is an end of any given Sunday. Like, anybody can win. It's a one game. It's not a series. You only have one game to try to get it done, and either you get it done or not. And if the only measure of success for this team was getting to that NFC Championship game a step further than they did a year ago, then the regular season is obviously completely meaningless. If that's the only measure of success that you can potentially have. Because, Chewy, I would make the argument that when you guys were, you know, building up, and yes, you finally broke through and went to that NFC Championship game in 1995.
Yeah.
But, like, I felt you guys were better in 94 than you were in 93. And then you took the step and won the division. Like, even though you guys made it the exact same way, and you guys got to host a playoff game in 94 versus going on the road in 93. Like, I just don't think that playoff success can be the only measure of, well, either this is success or a failure, because then otherwise, everything that we're talking about right now absolutely means nothing.
But
it
means something. And again, this goes back to, like, how do you look? How do you look when you take the field? I don't sit here and believe that the end-all, be-all has to be win, 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 win. I believe that you can learn from losses. I think most people in the league believe that. So I don't sit here and chalk things up, throw my hands in the air every time they lose a game. But it's the way that they looked yesterday, your final opportunity to show all the things that you have been criticized for in the weeks leading up to, and particularly last week against the Vikings, right? We all know what the deficiencies are. We all said this is what they have to be better at. If they want to make a playoff run, these are the things they have to be better at. Bears game provided a perfect opportunity to show any number of those. And they showed none. Like, that's the frustrating part. And again, if you want to hang your hat on McManus, fine. Go ahead, fans. I get people jumping in the talking text line, the carbless talking text line, saying, oh, but McManus, 55-yarder in the cold. That is impressive. Are you going to win against the Philadelphia Eagles with a bunch of field goals? Is that the plan?
So does the 11 wins in the regular season versus the 9 last year, does that do anything for you? I mean, so that's meaningless.
I think what bothers me the most about this team this year, Gabe, is how inconsistent they have been.
But guess what? You're the youngest team in the league. Guess what that's going to lead to? Guess what youth always does, whatever sport you're talking about. Guess what youth is going to be? Inconsistent. That's what they're going to be. That's what youth is. When you insist upon being the youngest team in the league, you're going to have these inconsistencies. And now, again, I think it's on Brian Gutekunst that whenever this season comes to a close, you can't be the youngest team in the league next year. If you want to actually take steps forward, you can't be the youngest, continuously be the youngest team in the league. Otherwise, you're going to have these inconsistencies and you're going to have these mistakes.
It's got to be a sweet spot, though, Gabe, because you can't be the oldest team in the league because that hasn't shown a proven track record of success either.
Sure.
So, like, there's got to be a sweet spot of...
There's a huge gap between 1 and 32.
So
beefy middle.
Is it just
beefy middle
adding
part of
a couple
curve
of veterans? Is it just... Because you can manipulate those numbers. You add an MVS to the roster and all of a sudden, poop, you're not the youngest team in the league anymore. You can manipulate the roster. It's an inexact science to talk about simply them being young as to why they are inconsistent. You could have one player. At one point, we had the snapper and the holder, and they were the, you know, oldest players on the team. Those positions don't really matter, do they?
Well,
if you had older,
but
holder and snapper.
But yeah, you need to take a look around, and just about every significant piece offensively is still on a rookie contract, except for Jordan Love.
You've said it throughout the season. You need superstars.
Yeah.
You need superstars. Who's a superstar? See, I thought And for me, it's all development. You know, you think Rashawn Gary's going to be better in his sixth year than he was in his fifth year? No, you know what a player is by their third year. You know, it's just, and I can tell you this right now because I'm moving forward. I hope they win. You know, I don't think they will, but I hope they do. But it's all about when you got to fill holes at the receiver position and the D line and the corner. Do you bring Stokes back now because it looks like Jair is gone?
I think you can bring him back on because he's actually
him back.
Yeah, on like a 1 year deal.
They can't even get him on the field.
Stokes,
Eric Stokes,
yeah,
cornerback.
Yeah, he's been playing,
but not well.
Yeah, he actually has been. I mean,
I didn't think Stokes has been playing
well.
He
doesn't have like that pass breakup. That streak is gone. But he actually, I mean, he hasn't been giving up receptions. He hasn't been giving up touchdowns.
I'm gonna pull up some Eric Stokes numbers.
He's been he's actually been playing decent enough where I think you can bring him back on a 1 year deal. You know, you give him the AJ Dillon treatment where you give him 1 year if you want to put some incentives in there. But
Kevin King exactly went through this process.
Yeah. I think that's what you do. And then
hope it goes better this time.
Yeah, you hope it goes better than it did for Kevin King. And the same thing with AJ Dillon, right? If it doesn't work out, I mean, in AJ's case, he got hurt. But if Stokes, you know, doesn't work out, you give him a 1 year contract that's low incentive. And if somebody surpasses him, somebody surpasses him. You just need bodies at that position at the same time.
I stand corrected. According to Pro Football Focus, he has been playing very well since week 10. Mm-hmm. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Eric Stokes.
Again, we like to make fun of him because of the breakup, because the lack of breakups, I should say. But he has been doing well.
Because I don't know anything about Eric Stokes' personal lives. He could have had many breakups over the course of the last few seasons. That's distinctly possible. Who could say?
Wait,
breakups specifically.
Has he had more personal relationship breakups or past breakups?
Well, you'd only have to have one.
Just a question.
I don't know. All I know is you'd like to have a stud at every one of those positions. Right? You'd like a stud receiver, you'd like a stud D end, and you would like a stud corner.
But what would you prefer of the three? If you could only have one shoe, which would you put your money on?
I would take receiver because it always gives you the opportunity to win in a shootout. You know? If you got it's going back to when Aaron Rodgers had all those receivers. Defense gives up 35, then we gotta score 42.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. I'm with you, Josh. This is a total overreaction. The Packers are a good team who just need to get their act together. Well, look, I agree with that sentence. They're a good team that needs to get their act together.
Yes.
You're out of time. Nothing that they have done over the last few weeks indicates to me that they are going to, quote unquote, get their act together against one of the best defenses in the league that has Jalen Hurts under center, that has Saquon Barkley hoping to chew up the turf. What even do they call that stadium now?
Lincoln Financial.
Oh, it is just the Link.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it had gone through other iterations.
A lot of places have. I understand.
Buy-ins.
I understand why you would be gun shy.
All right, good.
Because Arrowhead has a finance. I don't know who the sponsor is at Arrowhead anymore and all these other places. Seattle's had like seven different names, I feel, over the last 3 years. Yeah, it's not good.
Adam Wing and saying, Jen, congratulations on almost completing the reverse sweep of the division from your bold take in the preseason that they would sweep the NFC North. Yeah, that went sideways for me, didn't it?
I mean, again, it was supposed to be a bold take, you know, not necessarily going to come true. But
the boldest, apparently.
Yeah. Well, they swept. They were just the broom, though. That's the problem.
They were the dirt.
Yeah, no, they were not the broom.
They were being swept.
They were the dust particles and the dust bunnies and all of the stuff that you throw in your dustpan. That's what they were this year. We got to take a break on
glass.
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll get to more of your reaction as it rolls in Fast and Furious on the Carbless Talk and Text Line this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Rob Domofsky coming up in just a few moments, but before we get to that, guys, Gabe, you said you heard Jason Wilde yesterday on the postgame show talking about Christian Watson's injury. And the prognosis from Jason was not great. What did he say?
Yeah, he thinks it's an ACL just based on the way that Matt LaFleur was talking, based on the way that the training staff had kind of been acting, and the way that everything was pointing based on his long tenure as a beat reporter covering an NFL team. These are all the telltale signs of somebody who tore his ACL and is getting an MRI, not to find out if he tore it, but to confirm it today.
Chew, your reaction to Christian Watson going down on a non-contact injury on the field and what that means, not just for the Packers going forward, but for him.
Bad timing, obviously, because he's probably, if it is an ACL, won't have the surgery for a couple weeks because they'll strengthen it, which, you know, puts you well into next season for recovery. My guess is there's a chance he may not even play next year, so there's a hole you have to fill. Do we know if it was the same knee that was banged up?
It was not. It was the other knee.
It wasn't? Because it was weird. I mean, it was he didn't really even seem like he was really putting his foot in the ground. It's almost like he tripped or something. It's just a very bizarre injury. And that's going to hurt. I mean, I feel bad for the kid because they're going to need him. But I'm sure there's going to be the debate. Should he have played? Shouldn't he have played? The fact that it was a non-contact injury, that's just one of those freak things. And it's unfortunate.
I wonder if he doesn't play the game if Dobbs is healthy.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, LaFleur said as much.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would?
He would not have played had Dobbs been healthy.
He would have been in the inactive spot that Dobbs was in.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a tough spot. I like Christian Watson. I know that we have talked about his growth and maturity. Jason has lauded him for the way that he handled the Romeo Dobbs thing earlier, sort of has emerged as a leader for those wide receivers. Unfortunately, it doesn't help the narrative that he's injury prone. Of course, this doesn't help this idea that he can't stay on the field and that he is unavailable. And whether fair or unfair, that is something that is going to follow Christian Watson around. So just another tough break. It is the NFL. Happens a lot. Happens to a lot of guys. Seems like Christian Watson might be just the latest guy to succumb to a season-ending injury. We got to take a break because we got to get to Rob Domofsky. I'm sure there will be plenty of insight from Rob. And maybe he will steer us straight. Look, there's a possibility that Rob will go, you guys are being way too negative about the Packers' playoff chances this morning. Just trying. A for effort?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, Rob Domofsky, B-. Coming up next.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
The game has to be a continuation of the trend they're on. They can't just sort of go in on a level that, you know, they've been at. They probably do need to play their best game, but I do think it's trending in the right direction.
A prolific golfer?
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
And noted hoops head.
If you shoot 60% from the free throw line, you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're 60% in the red zone, I don't think that's good.
It's Rob Domofsky time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This better be a great segment.
Looking for perspective from our friend Rob Domofsky this morning as the Packers fall to the Bears yesterday. Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Meh. What did I tell you earlier, Gabe? Somebody wrote in the Carbless ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line, or maybe it was even on the YouTube stream, Packers are mid-AF.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's something that your son will have to explain to you, Rob.
I got that one. I got that. I know what mid is.
And AF. Well, you know what AF is. Matt LaFleur says, we got to do the things that we think we can have success with. What would those be at this point?
Well, I mean, I think what they did well this year was run the football and, you know, take the ball away on defense. Like, I mean, those are the things that they kind of hang their hats on with this team. But what they're going to need to do, though, is add some explosive plays, which were completely, you know, for the most part, absent yesterday. And that's going to be really difficult without Christian Watson. I mean, it's most likely a season-ending injury for him. You know, looks like an ACL. They'll have the test today that confirm that. But, you know, the indications I got were that it was most likely a torn ACL. And you can tell that from the way Matt LaFleur was, you know, answered the question. Usually he says, you know, we'll have to get some more information. And when he said yesterday, it's, you know, it's not looking good. That tells you what you need to know. So, I mean, look, I know they're going in the playoffs on a sour note. There's no question about it. I still think they could make a run. I also think that, you know, they're probably, I mean, the progression would be nice to see from last year to this year. I think that we did see it a little bit in the regular season. I ultimately think that, you know, it's still Jordan Love's second year as a starter. We talked about this a lot during the season. Sometimes you take a little bit of a step back in year two. I really think that 2025 was sort of the, you know, the ultimate peak to what they were trying to build, where they're going to have, you know, they would have had all their players, you know, back for another year. Obviously, Watson's probably going to be gone for quite a bit of next year. But I think that's sort of the way when Brian Gutekunst said when he drafted those young receivers the same year Jordan was starting as a quarterback and for the first time, he said, I wanted these guys to grow together. And I think that's still the plan. Now, it doesn't look great right now, but I still think that plan is on par.
Do you know what Lucas Van Ness is, Rob? I mean, is he a bust?
Do I know what he is? Yeah. He's a guy who is
I kind of like even with these receivers, Rob, I don't see him getting any better. I think I know what they are. I mean, I don't think any of them are going to turn into a T. Higgins or a Justin Jefferson, which I think is what this team needs.
I was going to say, that's the one thing, Chewy, with the receivers. We'll get to Van Ness in a minute. But the one thing with the receivers is, you know, they told us all offseason about how they don't need a number one, and you're, you know, it's great to have all these guys because any one of them can go get 100. Sometimes you need one, though, right? Like sometimes when in big games and big moments, sometimes you have to have a guy who you know is going to get you the ball, like is going to catch the ball, is going to get you a first down, is going to get you a touchdown in the red zone. And, you know, right now they don't have it at the receiver position. I still wonder if Tucker Kraft can become that, the go-to, like a little bit of a Gronkowski kind of a guy, a Kittle kind of a guy like that in that sense at some point. And again, he's only in his second year. I think they need to target him more. I think they need to get him in a position where he is the number one option on more plays. But you're right. They don't. They don't have a number one, and this is the problem with not having one. As for Van Ness, I mean, he's not even starting, I don't believe. Like, I tweeted the snap counts, and I'm not sure where his related to – I had a look at him and Kingsley Enagbare, but Enagbare started the game alongside Rashawn Gary. Now, I realize starting doesn't always matter, but Van Ness played 27 snaps, and Kingsley Enagbare played 35, and Rashawn Gary played 28. Now I realize that some of those guys weren't playing – you know, a full load. Kenny Clark barely played in the second half, but when you're a first round pick and you're at the end of year two and you're not one of the top two, you know, defensive end / edge rushers, that's a problem.
Well, it sounds like you think that Tucker Kraft could potentially be a star. And Rob, I've asked you this. I feel a lot over the last 2 years. I feel there's not enough top level talent on this roster after you get past Jacobs and McKinney. So because they are the youngest team in the lead, other than Tucker Kraft, is there anybody else you believe could grow into a star on this roster?
I think if Romeo Doubs were in the right headspace all the time, and I think he has the potential. I think on the defensive side of the ball, I think Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams have that potential. I think there's possibilities there. You know, you can have a lot of B players, but you still need a couple A's. And you know, I was looking at this the other day. The 2010 team that won the Super Bowl was the fifth youngest team in the league. So you can be they had three guys that were near the end of their career in Woodson, Chad Clifton, and Donald Driver. But Donald Driver really wasn't much of a factor that year. But that team was still really young. They were the fifth youngest team in the league. Their average age, I think, was 25 and a half years. This team's average age is 25.1, youngest team in the league. It's not – you don't necessarily always have to have a ton of veterans. You need some. If they can go out and supplement in free agency, you know, another guy or two like they did this offseason with Jacobs and McKinney, because those were obviously huge additions. Now, doesn't mean they're going to work out as well. And I know like the cornerback market is not very strong. They need a corner desperately. I think with a combination of another free agent addition or two, and you know, maybe hitting on another draft pick or two, I think they could be right there. It's fun. Well, I feel like we're talking about this is a conversation we should be having after they lose to the Eagles.
I guess any problem though that I've always had with any comparison to the 2010 team, Rob, like Greg Jennings was light years ahead of anything they have right now at wide receiver. Like he had already been established at that point. I mean, Charles Woodson was coming off a Defensive Player of the Year. Nick Collins, like they had the top end roster. I mean, even the young guys were a lot better than the young guys they have now. Like they don't have anybody who looks like Clay Matthews, who was only in year two. Like those guys were ascending to superstardom. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. And yes, they are the youngest team in the league, but I have to squint real hard if I think that Romeo Doubs is going to be anything like Greg Jennings was.
Yeah, and Jordy Nelson was in, what, year three, right?
Yeah.
And he was still a little bit injured. I mean, heck, he had, three drops in the Super Bowl. Now he had 100 yards plus in the Super Bowl, and you could have argued that he could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl if he hadn't had those drops. But, yeah, no, I get your point, and there's no complete equal comparison across the board. But I do think that you know, it's a little bit like, you know, teams just don't, you know, like you could have a one-year wonder team, right? And you could make a run. But I don't think that's the way the Packers, for right or wrong, I don't think that's the way the Packers view it. They build it as a building progression, you know, from 92 to 93 to 94, 95, and so on. From 08, 09, 10. I mean, those are like three-year chunks, right? Like you guys made the playoffs in 93 – starting in 93, right? And it wasn't until 96 that you got there. So that's, what, a four-season chunk. With Rodgers, you know, 08, they didn't make the playoffs. They make it 09, go to the Super Bowl in 10. I think this is an organization. And look, you can be frustrated with it as a fan, but that's probably a better way to build it than, you know, these teams like the Jets that are just taking shots in the dark with a one-off.
Rob Domofsky,
go ahead. Rob, do you think this team knows it's not good enough, though? Because when we went to Dallas, you're talking 93 and 94.
Yeah.
We beat, I think, Detroit at home, and the next year we beat Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then going to Dallas, we were like, maybe we can win.
Yeah.
We never actually thought, hey, we're going in there and we're taking them down. You think that team has a little bit of this? Because they haven't beaten anybody. I mean, they lost.
No, I don't know how you can't, Chewy, because, like, you can say all you want that, you know, we can win, but you haven't done it. And I think that's a big problem with this team. I think, you know, you would know this better than me. And I think that's interesting that you say that was the feeling, because, like, I think sometimes we equate, or at least fans equate how they feel about a team with how players feel about it. And I think players always think differently. And that may not be right, or that may not be wrong. Just like coaches, like, I remember this is maybe a reach of an example, but I remember when the Packers, I don't know if they traded for or signed Rick Meyer after he had flamed out in Seattle. And it was like, you know, a guy like Mike Lindgren probably thinks, you know what, he was no good everywhere he's been, but I can fix him because I'm the guy, right? Like he didn't. But I wonder if players, like fans think, God, they can't beat anybody. They can't beat anybody. But players maybe don't think that way. They think, look, we can beat people because I know I'm good, or whatever the case may be. So I do wonder, you know, if the narrative around a team, if they haven't won any, you know, games against the top teams, and they're, what, 1-5 against teams in the NFC playoffs, and the only win was against the Rams in week 5 when the Rams weren't really the Rams. But I still think there's some, you know, those guys are, I think there's a belief in there. It was a little startling, though, to hear some guys in the locker room yesterday say, we had to, the message after the game was, we had to make sure everybody was still together, not pointing fingers. The fact that you're doing that, you know, heading into the playoffs may not be the greatest sign.
Rob, we got a lot of reaction this morning. Obviously, people are very frustrated. And if, again, I'm reading through the frustration, it is not so much that they lost to the Bears. It is that they haven't looked good, trying to now go into the postseason, trying to knock off the Eagles, et cetera, et cetera. But we got a lot of reaction from people who are directing their frustration at Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is not the guy. Matt LaFleur got outcoached. Matt LaFleur, time management. Matt LaFleur gets rattled and there's pressure and all these things. How should folks look at Matt LaFleur, who has obviously been one of the most successful coaches that the Packers organization has ever had?
Yeah, I think those are fair assessments. There's no question. How many times have you heard him say that's on me? And it's admirable to take the blame for it. But at some point, you got to stop making those kind of mistakes and in-game decisions. I would say if there's one really valid criticism with him, it's that he's indecisive at those moments. I mean, like, for better or worse, Dan Campbell doesn't hesitate. Like, he doesn't take any time to make a decision, and he makes it. Sometimes you feel like Matt LaFleur, maybe the wheels are turned a little bit before he's ever able to, you know, kind of make the call. And it doesn't mean he's not making the right call, but sometimes when you take that much time, it enters or inserts a level of uncertainty to your football team.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Obviously, the hope is that the Packers can hang and that they can beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, I just don't feel like what they have done on the field has inspired a lot of confidence in the fan base. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
My only hope is that whatever happens in the game, my only hope is that next Monday isn't the last time we're doing this, because this is a great start to the week. But unfortunately, when I'm sitting in the Philadelphia airport, as I told Josh, a week from now, waiting to board my flight, it may be our last one.
Well, that's a very sad thought. So thanks for throwing that out.
Yes, I told you it wasn't going to be a beacon ray of light just shining down upon us.
Jen had hope.
I really did. I thought maybe, hey, listen, maybe I'm off my rocker, and Rob will be like, no, Jen, here are all the reasons why you should be optimistic about the Packers making a deep playoff run. Thank you, Rob. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. They've got deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, nightly live music, and you will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop.
No,
they're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wrong one.
I know the new year is a time when a lot of us want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness, wellness, or taking care of ourselves. Let's be honest, guys. Feeling confident in how you look and how you feel isn't just for women. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From January 1st through March 31st, they're offering a special package to help you start 2025 as confident as you can. Whether it's wellness and weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, even IV therapy, Quintessa has got personalized options backed by medical expertise that will help you look and feel your best. Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make sure your year is this year to feel confident inside and out. Feel like I'm gonna puke because my taxes are due. Let's see. Ainsley weighing in saying, my heavens, R-E-L-A-X. By the way, I thought we retired the R-E-L-A-X when Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets. Bunch of Stuart Littles. Gave up 224 yards. Last time we played him, 391. Last time the Bears got 5.3 yards a carry. This time, 3.2. Two turnovers created. We gave them 14 points on the punt return and the fumble on our 21. Y'all are causing nausea this morning.
Doesn't she mean Chicken Little?
I
don't think Stuart Little was the one running around Stewie saying that the sky was falling. I'm not as familiar with Stuart Little. I don't know what he famously did.
Drives a sick car.
Okay, then I'll be Stuart Little. If you got a sick car to give me, I'll sign up. I'll
Imagine
be Stuart.
If your parents adopted a talking mouse. That'd be terrible.
Seems like you know a lot about Stuart Little.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is if Ainsley feels like we should take that performance against the Chicago Bears and elevate our confidence level for this Green Bay Packers team against a team significantly better than the Chicago Bears in the Philadelphia Eagles. I guess that's my question. When the Packers were at pretty much full strength beginning of the season and they played the Eagles, they lost. We know, obviously, it was Brazil, neutral field. There's all sorts of things that went into that. But are the Packers better today than they were then? They're certainly not as healthy. That's obvious. That's for every team in the league. You could argue that the Eagles are not as healthy, as Jalen Hurts has been dealing with a concussion and missed the game. But, guys, if you tell me that what the Packers do well is run the ball, great, wonderful, love it, I'm glad. But guess what? The Eagles are going to try to stop the run. right? You can't be a one-dimensional team. And what have we seen from the passing game if they are without Christian Watson? If Jordan Love is even a little bit banged up with the elbow injury, what have we seen from the rest of the offense that makes you feel like they can supplement the Eagles putting eight in the box and trying to stop Josh Jacobs? Tell me. I am open to suggestions.
I mean, I wouldn't have any confidence in the defensive side of the ball either. Yeah, they've stopped the run against Saquon, but guess what the Eagles are? They're multidimensional. Teams that have been able to, that, I mean, there was one team a couple weeks ago that went, okay, we'll shut down Saquon. And the Eagles went, oh, we'll just throw the ball to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and win the game that way. We can do that. After people, oh, man, can the Eagles actually throw the football? Well, they did. And it's why they are, the, in my mind, the most complete team in the NFC right now.
Look, we got a whole week there's to break no down switch. That matchup, Chu. Yeah. We'll continue doing it. But you just said it. There's no switch. You can't flip a switch.
Yeah. No switch.
And that's why my confidence level is low that this is a team that can make hay. Again, would love to be proven wrong. Wildy and Tausch, I'm sure, will be discussing this right now on ESPN Milwaukee.